Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Let's talk about the reach of the executive office in Albany and Harrisburg to start, guys. Pandemic powers is a big debate right now at the state capitals. Jason, I'll start with you. The governor will have these powers at least through April. Do you expect the state to extend this emergency order past the spring?
Boy, I hope not. It really is hard to say, but right now it does not appear that they would. There would be the political temperament to extend those powers. The governor is slowly releasing some of the restrictions. Court cases are ruling against the governor, and so it's unlikely that there would be an extension of those powers in this year's budget process.
Yeah, and then Harrisburg, Senate Bill 2 this week, which would require constitutional amendment if it passes. They are attempting as well to rein in Governor Wolf's pandemic powers. What are the chances that'll happen?
I think pretty significant. If the Senate does go ahead and pass this and it gets through the legislature, it bypasses the governor and goes right to the ballot to the people of Pennsylvania. And basically, this would say that in the future, governor's executive authority in terms of emergency powers would be limited to just 21 days, and then any extension of that would require an act of the legislature. This is in response to the governor continuing to extend his emergency powers on COVID and on the opioid crisis without any check or balance from the General Assembly.
Yeah, big report in New York just yesterday, Jason. The Attorney General releasing a scathing report on nursing home deaths in the Empire State. Explain a little bit what this was all about.
Yeah, so the New York State Attorney General, Letitia James, is saying that the Cuomo administration has likely omitted thousands of COVID-19 deaths of nursing home residents. And listeners will know this has been a point of contention here in New York, is what are the actual numbers? And now, according to a report from the Democrat AG, looking at our Democratic governor, so it's not a partisan issue, it would appear that those deaths have been vastly underreported. And I believe that story is going to develop and lead to a lot more trouble for Governor Cuomo in the days to come.
All right. Let's leave the state capitals for just a minute and talk about the slew of executive orders that have been issued by the new president. I've never seen anything like it. Four or five times as many as any president before him in just his first week on the job. Michael, one of those executive orders, you argue, severely undermines privacy rights and women's sports. Explain that, if you would.
Yeah, this is one that was issued on the first day of President Biden's administration. And, you know, just after his inaugural speech, he talks about bringing unity to the country. Then he signs an executive order that basically says that transgender individuals have access to the locker rooms and bathrooms in schools and in other places. That's part of it. And then in girls' sports, we are going to have the federal government encouraging schools that they have to allow males who identify as females onto track teams and other places where girls are competing. And this is just a travesty and going to undermine girls' sports entirely.
Yeah, Jason, these executive orders had to do with everything from immigration to climate change to health care. The one that was signed on Thursday lifts the federal ban on taxpayer-funded abortions overseas. Your reaction?
Well, deeply troubled by this. This idea that as an American taxpayer, we're going to now have to fund these abortions, and even overseas, is just so troubling, not only as a pro-life individual, but just to think of that from even the libertarian perspective, that we're now being forced to pay for these things, is deeply problematic, and I expect there will be court action regarding this. I can't believe this is something that could be done through an executive order.
Yeah, and we're talking about the congressional oversight, Michael. I've asked Congressman, hey, why are you guys even there if law is passed from the Oval Office? Your reaction to this measure to overturn the Hyde Amendment?
Well, it's tragic. And, you know, so many critics of President Trump said that, you know, he had designs on being a dictator. And yet what we're seeing with President Biden is actions that mimic a dictator, thinking that just signing a piece of paper and decreeing things can change the law. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. And when you think about the sanctity of life and American tax dollars being used all across this world to fund abortions, it's a travesty. It's wrong. And something needs to be done to rein this in.
All right. And of course, the president argued this week that in the midst of a pandemic, we have to do everything we can to improve health care. Some would argue abortion is not health care. Well, let's turn the page, Jason, talk about a matter that's coming up next week in New York. And just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, talk of legalizing prostitution. Is this true?
Yeah, there's an effort in Albany. In fact, there is a bill that moved in some legislative committees last week that would have allowed for the repeal of loitering for purposes of prostitution. And we see this as the first step toward the full legalization of prostitution. This is following the same path they have taken with gambling and with marijuana and other things. Is first, there is a legislative effort to decriminalize the activity, and then there is an effort to legalize it and commercialize it. So in the case of prostitution, we will decriminalize loitering for purposes of prostitution, and then there is an effort to legalize it by many of the new members coming in, and the commercialization process is the tax on prostitution and the regulation of the activity. This is where we're heading in the Empire State.
I can't see how that's going to help the human trafficking problem, but hey, I'm not paid to know those answers, so moving on. Michael, we've seen the cancel culture alive and well in recent days. You've seen people banned from social media. We've seen Disney banning classic films. Just everywhere you look now, it seems to be out there. Unity has now been turned to conformity, and we've seen it when it comes to your congressman in Pennsylvania, Scott Perry. There was a call this week for him to resign over recent statements he have made. Explain what this controversy was all about.
Well, the congressman, Scott Perry, happens to be my congressman where I live here in the Harrisburg area. He's a member of the Freedom Caucus, some of the most conservative members of Congress, and he rightly was bringing to account, you know, the questionable activities of the Wolf administration, the Secretary of State, leading up to the election, the November election here in Pennsylvania. And he has had an answer to those who are calling for his resignation on his own social media page, on his Facebook page. He said, "Here is my answer to those calling for my resignation, my answer in perpetuity." And it was a big word no.
Yeah.
He's not planning to resign, and so we think that's the right approach that he's taking for this effort to cancel him.
Well, nobody is adept at social media as much as Jason McGuire. I understand you frequently use it, and Twitter is one of the ways you communicate a lot. And so we'd love to get your thoughts on this new, we hear it's a crowdsourced fact-checking feature called Birdwatch. Many conservatives, though, fear that this Twitter tool is only going to worsen censorship. What are your thoughts on that?
Boy, as a kid, I remember watching the Alfred Hitchcock movie Birds, and it creeped me out then, and Birdwatch creeps me out now.
Yeah.
This idea that somehow we will have this crowdsourcing feature on Twitter to fact-check every statement is troubling. Just this week, Focus on the Family's Daily Citizen was barred from Twitter for simply stating that a man who presents as a female is still a man. They've been locked out of Twitter for that simple statement. Where do we think that the mob will go on these types of issues if the politically correct forces out there are looking at people tweeting truth and simply trying to silence it from the public marketplace of ideas? It's a problematic idea that Jack and Twitter are trying to have.
All right. Well, we have time for just one more question. It is Sanctity of Human Life Month. And Michael, one of the sad parts of this whole COVID crisis is that we're witnessing more women choose to do these so-called tele-abortions or do-it-yourself abortions. What are the ramifications of this in the Commonwealth?
Well, they're significant, and quite honestly, Pennsylvania's pro-abortion administrations over the past years have shown that they don't provide any oversight to the abortion industry, and efforts that we made earlier in the Wolf administration to rein in tele-abortions were vetoed by the governor. And the ramifications are that women are going to be hurt. They're going to be prescribed this chemical that kills the baby, but also has significant health and psychological impacts on the woman.
Yeah. 30,000 every year voices silence in Pennsylvania. And thank you for the work you do, Michael. Standing Up for Life. If folks have questions about that good work, where can they find you online?
PAFamily.org.
And stay informed on the issues as well in New York. Jason, your site, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.